Okay, so last Sabbath we looked at the Book of Life. And this Sabbath, let's start by looking at the Book of Remembrance. Let me get my headphones on. Okay. I just don't want to overdo the mic, because without the headphones I can't judge where I'm supposed to be. This book, the Book of Remembrance, this book contains a record of all the good deeds of God's obedient people. And no, this is not to say the gaining of heaven by good works, you know, the theology of the Church of Rome. That doesn't hold any truth whatsoever, you know, because that's what they do. They build a stairway to heaven, and that's, you know, how the people are taught. Well, that's old-fashioned paganism, to where you do all these things for your idol god. You can really see it in great detail with the genuflecting, the sign of the cross, the rosaries, and even with the Hindus, because they, like the Muslims, they all do the rosary because it's all paganism. Only they give it different names. Catholicism calls it rosaries. I can't remember what the Muslims call it or the Hindus, but it really doesn't matter. I don't need to know. I think it's the Hindus, they go so far as to... I didn't know the guy, but I saw this thing years ago of a monk, a Hindu monk, rolling around on his prayer cloth. And the prayer cloth was about the length of his body. His feet would stick out, of course, and he would roll on it in the, you know, on the ground. And he did it for, I think, 100 miles or something like that, as a show of penance for his sin or something. It was just so, it's kind of like, you know, JFK wearing the camel hair shirt, or so-called St. Therese having barbed wire around her gut, you know, to suffer for the sins of the people. Like Jesus, what he did on Calvary wasn't enough, because that's what they're actually teaching. And so, yeah, it's all about the flesh. And so what you can do with the good deeds, according to them, will get you to heaven, but that's not what the Bible says. And so, but this Book of Remembrance does contain the good deeds of God's people. Not that it'll get you to heaven, it's just in there. And so, Malachi chapter 3, as a matter of fact, we're in Malachi in the sermon too, but Malachi chapter 3 says in verses 16 and 17, and thank you, everybody, for your patience, especially for those of you on WTPR that, you know, and there's, bless your heart, there's a lot of people on there, you know. We keep falling in and out. I should have that monitor close by so I could see the VU on it, but it seems to be working good now because I installed a different browser because it kept going in and out. While it was out, I started up a different browser. And hopefully that'll solidify. But anyway, Malachi 3. Thanks again, Brother Sean, and everybody else that was, and Sister Mindy and Kylie and Fran and everybody, that, all the moderators. Thank you so much for helping with the church service, like every single solitary Sabbath. Verses 16 and 17 says, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." That ain't the treasure chest of jewels, which we are them little jewels. And so, I mean, it's so nice to see how the Lord likes to think about us, as this book is clearly called the Book of Remembrance. This reminds me of the praise lists of or prayer lists, or dream diaries too, of some of us that allow us to remember all that He's done for us over the years, as His never-changing Word that blesses us daily too when we study it, and we see how He has also blessed others all throughout time. And so, but think about it: those of us that have our name in the Book of Life also have a page, or hopefully many pages, in the Book of Remembrance written by our guardian angel. As students of prophecy, we know the promises of the third chapter of Malachi will be verified to the letter when we finally arrive at home. And so, we need to seek a deeper experience in the Lord. with true heartfelt devotion so as to learn to walk with a watchful eye so as to not step anywhere near the edge of the path set before us. I mean, all that we do is recorded by our Lord, and why not work towards filling the books of heaven, you know, the book of remembrance, with nothing but good things? I mean, after all, do you recall what the Lord said of the rich man who preferred rather to focus on all that the world had to offer instead of giving to those that needed his help? Jesus said to him in Matthew 19, verse 21, he said this, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now, whether he said to give, to sell everything you got, or, you know, a good portion of it, or whatever, however which way the Lord meant it there, because it's kind of hard to figure in this regard of the way the Lord is speaking it here. Some people will say sell everything, and some people will think, you know, just sell some of the stuff to help the poor. But when I look at Nicodemus, he was a rich man. And he literally financed the first church to the point that by the time he was ready to die, he spent his last penny. It just worked out perfectly to where every dime he had eventually went into the Christian church, to the point that, you know, it was just he had just enough to, you know, to last the rest of his life. I mean, all too often, the apostate preachers declare you cannot be perfect, because Jesus literally says here to the young man, the rich guy, he goes, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that, you know, help the poor." In other words, but they keep saying that you can't be perfect. I mean, I've seen the infamous bumper sticker. I remember in the 80s or 90s or something like that, you know, standing, you know, waiting in line at a light or something like that. And every now and then I'd see that bumper sticker, you know, maybe 5 or 10 times in my life, where it was a black bumper sticker and it had white lettering and it said, "Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven." Yet Jesus also said in Matthew 5:48, right there in the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of his sermon, because, well, it's kind of like into the beginning, but, you know, because chapter 5, 6, and 7, that's the sermon of Matthew 5. So verse 48, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And so did Jesus lie? Well, most preachers, by their strange doctrines, are in fact saying, yeah, he is just as the author of the bumper sticker is saying Jesus lied. I mean, many don't realize they're saying that, of course, and so you can't really hold it against them, but because that's just the way they're taught. They were taught the doctrine of a demon from their teachers in the Bible college, but due to their disobedience and their original, as to their, you know, their original calling, they allowed themselves to be taught of these men who were nothing more than grievous wolves. They didn't have Berean spirits. They were more interested in what the teachers were saying. This is how you can make a career out of preaching. You know, and it goes so far, you know, everything from preachertainment to churchianity. I mean, it's just whatever makes the buck. It's like T.D. Jakes just said, you know, last year. Well, not even last year. I think it was last year. On camera, he says he's God's salesman. Literally, he says he is the salesman for God, and Jesus Christ is the product. Look it up. It's on YouTube. But if you look at John the Baptist, who was he taught by when he wandered in the wilderness as he grew in the Lord and grew into his calling? Or look at the apostles themselves. None of them were theologians. I mean, only Paul was first a Pharisee, right? He was educated. He spoke many languages. And one can see why he was used by the Lord. He had a better way to illustrate the truth in ways that the Pharisees could not refute, as he knew of their spurious or counterfeit gray areas firsthand, so he knew how to get around that stuff. But when we come to the Lord in faith and truly show a heart that seeks to please him, he never ever loses. Okay, looks like we just lost WTPR again. Let me just double click the mic here. I am so sorry. I gotta do it sometimes twice and get it to come back. It ain't working. I don't know what the problem is. It's just not broadcasting out. There it goes. It's back up now. So it's gotta be the Nick card. It's the only thing I can think of. Or either that, or I got too many drivers because I just swapped hard drives, and from the old server, and so it's probably got two audio drivers running, and they're conflicting with each other, so I got to do some research to figure out which driver came with the server and delete the others. So anyway, getting back. For those of you listening on WTPR, yeah, it just fell out again, so I'm just going to shut it off. I'm sick of playing this game. I'm not going to watch that. Boom. Okay, so WTPR, it's not working this week, so come on, you know, I guess they're going to be on the stream or in the conference room here, so I'll figure out the WTPR thing this week. Okay, so getting back, when we come to the Lord in faith and truly show a heart that seeks to please Him, He never leaves us with all our shortcomings and weak faith to stumble in the darkness. I mean, the Lord hears the prayers and testimonies of the apostles, and as they studied His word and pray often as did the patriarchs and prophets of old, He hears all this. The Lord knows we are drawing as close to Jesus as we can get, and in so doing, the angel records all we do in the books of heaven in that book of remembrance. And this is so amazing to me when I, you know, like when we learned earlier how the Lord likes to look into that book so as to watch as we grow, while at the same time we look into the Word, allowing Him to help us grow onto the perfect image of His precious Son. I mean, those that study and pray are those that live nearest to Jesus. And like Moses, who walked closer to Him than any man alive, they too are going to grow to shine in Jesus the brightest, if in fact we gain the blessing to be in that number, you know, the Gideon band. And so continue to praise His name, this great God in heaven who looks upon us, who for all intents and purposes are His hidden ones, who are not recognized by the world, but whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life as well as that Book of the Remembrance. And so, but think about this for a minute. Even if you're a very tiny little gem in the chest of jewels, as we all were when we were babes, right? So you're just a little tiny gem in the chest of jewels, and you shine bright because all that you were called to do, you have been doing. And no, you don't have to be a theologian or even a prophet or a healer. The Lord needs each and every one of us to do exactly as He needs us to do, as to perfect the body of Christ on earth. A theologian cannot do as a babe in Christ can do, and vice versa. There's things that I can do you can't do, and there's things that you guys can do that I can't do. We work together. That's why Jesus used the analogy of the body, everything from the toes to the head, then the fingers and the arms. I mean, everything, everyone in the church has a duty. And it doesn't matter if it's cleaning the toilets, the standing at the desk. And so there are many Christians out there that feel as if they're not used of God. But I got to tell you that, yeah, you are used of God. You may not feel particularly honored of God. You may not even realize the heavenly nudge every now and then. But that's only because the Lord knows in so doing won't help you grow in your faith anyway. It's got to become second nature unto you to just do it. You don't have to get a slap on the back every time He has you do something. Because if that's what you're waiting for, well, then you're going to just sit in there waiting. He's not going to do it. You know, the basic reality is to God be the glory, not you. And so as we read earlier in Malachi, the Lord says, they will be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Our God has a big chest filled with big and little jewels in all the churches. I mean, well, the real churches, you know, in all the churches, if you think about it, because, you know, He hopes to use each of us to show humility and love towards those trapped in the apostate churches as well, because Revelation 18:4 says His people are in all those churches. He calls them my people when He's calling them out. And my, oh my, when you think about Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5, in fact, a whole ball of wax in regards to this, it's amazing how, especially in the SDA church, who were known in their infancy for prophetic utterance, how the people can sit in those apostate churches and not see a problem with this, especially now that we see everything from, you know, digital dollars being talked about in the media to The sorceries of the forceful sorceries. As a matter of fact, I just emailed myself. I was doing scripture, well, of course, like I do every morning, Bible study this morning, and I came across a Bible verse that's perfect in regards to warning the people about the vaccines, for example, and how a lot of people don't even realize this. Where is it? Okay, yeah, vaccines were, well, actually, this is in Spirit of Prophecy, page 406, if you look at it. But the enemy of souls, he's going to go out there and act like he's going to heal everybody. Everything from the fake healings he does when he stands here on earth as Christ, which for all intents and purposes, for the people that don't read Bibles, they're real healings, because all Satan's doing is telling the demon that's got a hold of your kneecaps to let go. Now you can walk all of a sudden, or to quit covering your eyes. Now you can see all of a sudden, And so, but the vaccines, or any of these drugs they've been doing for, man, the vaccines, they've been around there a long, 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 long time. Fran and I were talking about that earlier. It's not just the ones of today. And so it's just, it's crazy what's going on out there. And so, again, how people, with all these things that are happening and their talk of Sunday laws and, yes, they are in the pipeline, even though Ted Wilson says they're not. We've got thousands of articles to prove that he's a liar. And just like with all the other ones, like Doug Batchelor, when you ask these preachers, why do you have a 501c3? They literally lie and get caught. And I can prove it, And so it's sad, but the people see this and they stay in this church. But that too was prophesied. There's a lot of people, just like there were in 2,000 years ago, that followed the Pharisees and ignored Jesus Christ, the real Messiah standing on earth, because they trusted their leaders who said that he wasn't the Messiah. Just like they're trusting their leaders today to say that the truth we're proclaiming isn't the truth. I mean, even in their own books, it says, it declares loudly that the loud cry goes forth in the exact same way the midnight cry does. There was no formed church in the midnight cry. It's the people that come out of the apostate churches that do the work, because they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And since he got kicked out of the SDA church, and obviously out of all the others as well, that's where the work's going to be getting done. That's where the loud cry is going to go forth. That's where the latter rain's going to fall. And so, yeah, some are still going to, they're going to hate you. Some are going to accuse you of things you've never done because of because of your devotion, your virtue and your devotion. And some will even seek to kill you. But as the wicked Saul found out, who later became the Apostle Paul, some that can be used of God in mighty ways will be affected by the obedient people of God and how they do not bend under pressure even unto death. Hence the reason for some of the people having purple robes. Obedient unto death. Death, red, blue, obedience. Put them together, you got purple. And so he saw Stephen die with love in his heart for those killing him. Saul, remember? That no doubt played a role in his conversion on the road to Damascus. I mean, we all need to let them behold Christ-likeness of character when they seek to harm us, spiritually or even physically for that matter. This will draw some to the truth when it does. You, the little gem in the treasure chest, will begin to shine just a little bit more brighter that day. Remember how I brought up perfection a moment ago? Notice how Jesus illustrates the path to perfection in his Sermon on the Mount. Okay? I'm going to start at verse 43 in chapter 5. I'm going to go to verse 48. So Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit over on time because we started a little late. But he says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you." I mean, after all, you're not fighting against flesh and blood, right? You're fighting against principalities, powers of the air. And so he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be..." Now, this is why. He says, when you do this, "that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?" I mean, anybody could do that. even says, do not even the publicans the same? In other words, they do that. And then verse 47 says, and if you salute your brethren only, you know, like the Jews always did, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, the tax collectors, he goes right down to the, you know, to the bottom of the barrel there. And then verse 48, he says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, like I shared a moment ago. But some say that's easy for someone to say about loving their enemy. But when it comes in reality, it's not always possible. They forget that not only after Jesus preached this Sermon on the Mount, they tortured and killed him. He led by example, and he showed that we can do the same. All the apostles did this, all the martyrs. 500 million of them. I mean, Huss was singing as he was on fire. And he used to be a Catholic priest. And then he found the truth and he was trying to warn people about it, so they burned him alive. You know, for some that have fought all their lives, this truth can bring peace to their hearts, knowing they won't have to pound lumps on someone that seeks to kill them one day. It calms you down when you realize you don't have to fight this. It's the Lord's fight. That's why David just picked up the pebble, four of them actually, because Goliath had three brothers, but he knew he was only going to use one pebble because he knew this was the Lord's fight when he fought Goliath. He knew he was going to direct that pebble. And so when you realize that you don't have to pound lumps on someone that seeks to kill you, it calms you down. They can just let go and let God, and let God do, or even allow, whatever he pleases. If he needs you to fall in the field, like in the battlefield, so be it. Perfect peace is just that, perfect. He who loves the Lord completely and his neighbor as himself will most assuredly shine brightly in that treasure chest of jewels. I mean, he or she will be a light in the world. I mean, it's no mistake. We, the remnant of her seed, know these things. And before you doubt and think that some of the people that stayed behind in the churches you left may have more wisdom in the word than you do, think again, for you saw what counts. I mean, you saw the truth, and you saw it with an obedient heart, and the heart was easily moved by the Holy Spirit within you to hear that still small voice that said to you, come out of her, my people. You heard that, and you left that apostate church, and so you have rock hard evidence, capital R, in fact, that you are one that is obedient unto the Lord. And so even if one who is a theologian in the church that you left behind, who knows the word inside out, if he stays in the apostate church, then he's not a child of God. For the word of God is plain when speaking of the 144,000. It says in Revelation 14, verses 3 to 5, Revelation 14, verses 3 to 5, it says, and they sung, as it were, a new song, as it were. It's just like, remember when you hear the gospel for the first time? Wow, this is new. It's been around 6,000 years, all right? And so they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. You know, the bogus churches, the false churches. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So if they kick Jesus out of the church, you're out. You leave, because you're going to go where Jesus is. If they're not going to be obedient to Christ, then you most assuredly can't be sitting there. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. You know, this is why I did that video years ago that was titled, Who Are the 144,000? To summarize, according to the prophetic word of God, if you are in any Protestant church when the plagues begin, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist church, if you are in any of these Protestant churches, and of course the Catholic church or the Muslims or the Hindus or whatever, if you're in any of these churches, you cannot possibly be in the 144,000. Christian prophecy simply cannot be changed. There are certain specifics regarding that number that if you are disobedient in any aspect of that, including coming out of apostasy, you won't be in that number. It's just that simple. I mean, your church leaders can claim you're the remnant people all they want. just like the Pharisees 2,000 years ago did. Stay with the church, stay with the church, stay with the church. That's what they keep saying all the time. How well did that work out for the Jews? Or the Catholics? Or now the SDAs? So those who have a knowledge of the truth and embrace it as part of their life to the point of sharing the truth with anyone the Lord sends their way, these are those that literally lift up Jesus Christ, the world redeemer. They are those that proclaim present truth. They're going to be blessed in ways no one could ever imagine in the coming days. I mean, you think some of the miracles the apostles or the patriarchs or prophets of old were amazing. You get that latter rain and it falls more abundant, you know, because the apostles, they only had the early rain. That's what you got now. Holy Spirit in you. But pretty soon it's going to be, you know, double portion, more abundantly. And yes, all that we see happening in this plandemic is not just designed to foster fear and blatant obedience to the powers that be, even when they demand you believe a lie, so as to cultivate the powers they seek over you to the point they will soon demand you disobey the great God of heaven by embracing the spurious Sabbath of the man of sin in Rome. This plandemic is also designed to cultivate confusion and even doubt in the hearts of the Gideon band. But methinks they are much wiser than that to fall for such lies, as they will be known as to study the word daily as well as pray. As a matter of fact, let me turn on my little quickie notes, they're called. There might be you might hear a cuckoo clock. Okay, let me shut that off. Let me shut that one off. Yeah, because the cuckoo clock is part of this thing. But check this out. William Casey, CIA director, said this in 1981. He's the CIA director. And they actually put out 400 different operatives from the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States government in the 80s. 400 of them went out, and they're still out there to this day, to dictate to the mainstream media as to what the American people need to see. Check out what he said in 1981. This is verbatim. "We know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." That's political theater. Everybody believes the COVID-19. Well, not everybody, but those with eyes that see don't, obviously. That's what they're doing. And why does that work to their... Well, here, I got to shut it off because it might throw a cuckoo, like a warning up. So let me go shut her down here. Okay. So why do they do this, you wonder? Well, if you can get the people on a mass basis to believe a lie, like Goebbels, you know, Hitler's buddy said, and you keep repeating the lie, when it comes time to push forth the final lie, that Sunday is the Sabbath, everybody's going to fall in line. I mean, do you see some of the women are getting beat up? Yeah, it's no wonder that they're doing this to women, because a lot of guys are going to fight back. But they're beating these women up that won't put on masks or got a little bit too close to someone or with the, you know, the social distancing thing. They're forcing people to go with the narrative of the media. It's amazing. What do you mean you hear me in the background? Oh, okay. All right. That's the cuckoo clock thing. All right. So anyway, those that refuse to store their riches in heaven, they're not going to be found in the book of life. In fact, they will be found in the third book that none of us ever want to be a part of. That is the book of the dead. Okay? And so... let me just see here, because we're already 5 minutes. Well, yeah, I can get done with this in 5 minutes. So when speaking of those who refuse the love of the Lord, the prophet Jeremiah stated clearly in Jeremiah chapter 2. Check this out. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Verses 19 to 22, he says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." In other words, they don't even care what the Lord thinks or what his will is. They're just, you know, walking about doing what they want. They don't fear the Lord. And now look at verse 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, or they wanderest, playing the harlot. Was he talking about there? Well, that's where the pagans do their worship. That's why you see steeples on church roofs, and that's why you see Christmas trees in people's homes. The tree, the evergreen, is a very pivotal point in pagan worship because it never dies. Well, so they say, you know, because it doesn't drop their leaves. It's evergreen. That's why it's called evergreen, right? And so that becomes, it's pivotal in their worship services. And so this is why they use it. There's also a vulgar thing behind it, and this is the reason for the starburst on the top and the little balls that are on it and the garland that spins all the way down like something spilling on it. It's all vulgarity. I'm not going to get into that. But, back then they would worship in the forest, and they would have these little altars underneath the evergreens. They would, of course, take off the bottom limbs, and you'd have this big canopy of evergreen above you. Witches used to do their incantations and stir their cauldrons there. But anyway, verse 21 and on says, Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. You know, unconfessed sin cannot be removed from a non-believer's heart. Unconfessed sin cannot be removed. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 65. Verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 65, 6 and 7. It says, Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. So I'll get it. In other words, just as the names of the saved are recorded in the book of life, as well as their trust, their faith, and their good works are recorded in the book of remembrance, so are the wicked deeds of the lost recorded against their names in the book of dead. It's all going to come back. There's a lot of weeping and gnashing when that day happens at the end of the 1,000 years. Even that self-deception is going to be wiped away. The people that think, you know, it's not really that big of a sin, it's not that big of a deal, that's self-deception. And at the end of the 1,000 years, if they don't repent now and accept Christ as Savior and get a clearer mind given unto them to where they can see how they're deceiving their own selves, because we're all our own worst enemies, right? The flesh plays against us at all times. Even Paul says he does things in the flesh that he was illustrating how the babe in Christ was dealing with the fact that I do things in the flesh I don't want to do. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And so people will listen to their flesh. And just so you know, not just the wicked, but also the righteous have their sinful deeds recorded in the book of death. Seriously, Romans 8:23. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is that we have repented, and the wicked just go on to their next sin with joy. You know, First Timothy chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before them to judgment, or going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they are other, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. In other words, our sins have gone before unto judgment, and the blood of the Lamb, or the word forgiveness, is recorded right after them. But there still needs to be a death recorded for those sins, right? Because the wages of sin is death. But since we accepted the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, well, then the price has been paid. We live on because we are therefore saved from damnation, or the second death of hellfire, as it is called. As we learned earlier, the blood of the Lamb sacrifice was sprinkled on the veil so as to openly declare we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world, right? So soon, all the books are going to be opened in the most holy place when the judgment of the house of our God closes. Every wicked deed done by those that accepted Christ as Savior will be forever blotted out, for it was written and even seen in vision in Revelation 20, verse 12 by John. Revelation 20, verse 12, John said this. He says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books according to their works." Then Isaiah 65, verses 16 to 19 says this, and I'll close with this. Isaiah 65, verses 16 to 19. It says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. That's where we're headed, brothers and sisters. We're headed to New Jerusalem. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute with the sermon.